Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Margwitz, and I'm talking today with Spencer Cole, Chief Investment Officer of Vox Royalty. Spencer, it's always great to have you on the show just to walk investors through what's going on with the company, what's going on with some of your partner operators, what's going on with the financials of the company. But let's start with the news that just came out yesterday on December 13th. You had a pretty interesting update of some of the exploration going on with some of the companies that you hold royalties on their projects. There's a lot of information here. Walk us through some of the ones that stood out to you as far as this update, Spencer.
Absolutely, Shad. It's a pleasure to be back with you today. For listeners who aren't aware, Vox is a precious metals-focused royalty company that has 54 separate mining royalties. I guess what we announced to the market yesterday, which was particularly exciting for us, was the most recent month's worth of exploration and discovery news flow from some of our operating partners. The really exciting part of this announcement, Shad, was we've effectively finished the year with approximately about 170,000 meters of drilling on our royalty properties. Now, to put that into perspective for listeners, that means approximately $50 to $100 million was spent by our royalty partners on our royalty exploration properties without any cost or dilution to Vox shareholders. So, and some of the highlights we announced in this press release were multiple high-grade drilling results from our Sulphur Springs copper project in Western Australia, our Bowden silver project in Australia, which is the largest primary silver project in all of Australia. Some really broad intersections at our Pedra Branca platinum group metals project in Brazil, and then a new discovery and a resource update at our Yuli graphite project, which is also in Australia. So, yeah, just a really, you know, incredible year of exploration progress and new discoveries on our exploration stage royalty properties, Shad.
Well, Spencer, you point out one of the strengths of the royalty business model, and that is you're not taking the risks and you don't have the cost and you don't have to hire the drillers or have the staff that the individual mining companies do. So the beauty of a royalty is they're going out and spending the money. They're going out in the remote areas and drilling to the center of the earth to find these different deposits. And you get the benefits of all that extra capital being spent and all that work being spent because you've got a royalty in place. And obviously it's exciting to see drill results that animates the investing marketplace. But for a royalty company, it's really when these projects get a little bit further down the pike and get a little bit further developed that they start gaining more traction. Out of those projects you just reviewed, what's the development looking like at some of those? Are they moving forward with economic studies? Are there resource estimates that are coming up? Any news you can give us there?
Yeah, absolutely, Shad. There's a huge amount of near-term development news flow associated with those exploration stage properties. So in the next 6 months alone, we expect seven separate resource updates. So, I mean, what's the significance of that? Obviously, it means the size of the mineral deposits are growing. And, you know, the probability of those being pushed forward into development and to construction continues to rise. So, you know, that's particularly encouraging for our medium-term revenue forecasts, because we see a number of these exploration projects are likely to move, you know, into more advanced engineering studies over the course of next year.
Yeah, just another example of the cost to produce those economic studies doesn't fall on the royalty company, it falls on the partner companies, but it is great to hear you have seven resource updates coming out because, yes, bigger deposits mean a larger area that your royalties could be over at a longer mine life, better economics, all of those things. So there's a number of companies you have that are moving the ball down the field. But could you remind listeners that may be learning about Vox for the very first time, Spencer, out of the paying royalties you have today, where did you start the year? Where were you last year? Where did you start the year? And where are you now? Just to show the kind of growth that Vox has been in as far as having partner companies bringing on assets into production.
Yeah, sure thing, Chad. So Vox went public on the TSX Venture only about 18 months ago, so in May of 2020. When we went public, we only had one producing royalty property. Now, and that wasn't everyone's flavor, so to speak. You know, for some investors at the time, they thought, well, you know, we want to see more producing royalty properties. But we said, look, our strategy is buying royalties at great value that are right on the cusp of production. We've delivered on that promise to shareholders. As we stand today, we now have five producing royalty assets. And looking ahead to next year, we've got a number of royalties that are either in construction or just on the cusp of construction. So we expect to finish 2022 with between 7 to 8 producing stage royalties. So for investors, they get the benefit of all of that incremental production, and then which flows into royalty revenue without us spending a single extra dollar of capital, because those are already royalties that are in our portfolio today.
Would you be able to share the two or three that you think will be moving into production next year, what the project is and who the operator is?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got 2 gold projects and 1 vanadium project that are, you know, we believe have strong potential to come into production next year. One of those is called the Bulong Gold Project. That's a West Australian gold project that's operated by an ASX-listed group called Black Cat. They've purchased the mill already. They're in early works for construction. They've been refurbishing their existing, the mill they purchased, and then they're just working through the final sort of engineering design work. So they've just recently reiterated first production guidance for the second half of next year. And we also have another gold royalty called Otto Bohr. This is operated by one of the largest gold miners globally, Northern Star Resources. And this is a deposit that's feeding their existing Thunderbox mine. So really it's just a matter of, you know, the pre-strip or starting up mining on the shallow open pit gold deposit. And from satellite imagery, we can see they've already commenced surface works on that deposit. So we think that has quite strong potential going into next year. And then thirdly, we have an exciting vanadium discovery that's being fast-tracked into production in Brazil called Pitombeiras. That's operated by a group called Jangada out of London. And they've already been issued a trial mining license by the Brazilian regulators, and they're just about to release a feasibility study in the coming months, and they expect to move that project into production by sort of the middle of next year. So those are 3 that we have sort of direct line of sight on based on operator guidance, but you know, we think there's also potentially some upside on those estimates as well.
Yeah, and it's, to some degree, it's kind of a crapshoot to know exactly when things will happen, when will first gold pour be. Sometimes it actually moves up ahead of schedule. A little bit more rare, sometimes it happens after, behind schedule, but it's just encouraging to know the pipeline of projects that's coming online and how that'll grow the production profile of the company and the revenues. And we should probably touch on the Q3 numbers that you had come out on November 22nd, about a month ago now, but some good numbers in there. And it shows top line revenue, $1,223,493 reported for the quarter in Q3. Your royalty linked gold production from the Hidden Secret deposit at Higginsville, which I believe is operated by Karora Resources, was a big contributor, as was the Dry Creek royalty, as was the Kulyanobing royalty. So any other key takeaways from the Q3 operations report and financial report that you think would be worth highlighting for the company?
Absolutely, Shad. So some of your listeners probably recall from earlier interviews that the middle of this year, Vox actually, we doubled our revenue guidance to $4 to $5 million for this year. And despite doubling that revenue guidance, based on our Q3 results, we're on track to achieve the upper bound of our revenue guidance, which is, you know, hugely pleasing. In our Q3 results, we also announced record production numbers both at our Higginsville royalty and at our Kulyanobing royalty as well. So to see multiple record royalty link production records in a quarter is just, you know, hugely satisfying, and then obviously that has very strong flow on implications for future revenues as well. So yeah, I think we're in a fantastic position to achieve revenue guidance for this year, and then we'll be providing 2022 revenue guidance early next year that investors can look forward to.
Yeah, and it's just a testament to how this team has put together deals that have continued to grow the production profile of the company, the revenue generation of the company, and like you mentioned, just 18 months ago, some investors were maybe a little squeamish about only having the 1 producing royalty, but now having 5 and a clear roadmap to 7 or 8 next year, it sure is a lot of growth in a small amount of time, and it should move you up the batting order as far as how you positioned in the royalty sector. So maybe you could just speak to that for a second, because there's still a lot of companies that are pre-revenues. They don't even have revenues yet from their royalties. And then there's some of these smaller royalty companies that have a few paying, but your revenue growth has outpaced a lot of the other companies. So how do you see this continuing, and how do you feel your valuation stacks up compared to your peers?
Yeah, look, I think you're absolutely right on a number of those points there, Shad. I think we've been very careful and in leveraging our technical management team of mining engineers and geologists to choose the right royalty properties that we believe have, you know, a very strong probability of moving into production. So, you know, we're at a fantastic position in our growth cycle right now where we don't have to go out and overpay or reach to buy new royalties, because our current portfolio of royalties is really sort of on this exponential growth curve as, you know, revenues continue to ramp up. So we're in a really strong position in terms of the fundamentals of our business as revenue is expected to continue to grow over coming quarters. But from a valuation perspective, I think there's a lot of investors that have still been sitting on the fence saying, well, you know, I'll come back in one quarter time once some of that future revenue growth has been delivered. Now, what I would say to those investors are, you know, we're trading at a deeply discounted price relative to our peers today. And if they sit back and wait too long and wait for more of that revenue growth to play out, you know, obviously they're going to be buying it at a much higher price, we would expect. Now, in terms of where we sit relative to our peers, I think the other thing that's really continues to be differentiated about our portfolio versus others, you know, we've constructed our royalty portfolio with very low geopolitical risk in mind. So, you know, a lot of our incremental royalty assets that are coming into production over the coming quarters and years are located in Australia. And so we've seen, you know, despite COVID and despite, you know, all the inflationary pressures that the world's facing, Australia continues to be just one of the best, if not the best, jurisdiction to develop and operate, particularly a gold mine. So I think investors can feel confident that, you know, not only are they getting this huge exponential growth curve in revenues with Vox, but also that's all like largely coming at an extremely low risk profile because of, you know, 70% of our assets are in Australia. So I think we couldn't be better positioned than where we are today, Shad, in summary.
Well, and just on the topic of Australia, we don't talk about that as much on our show because we have so many North American miners that we're talking to operating in the U.S., Canada, a lot of Mexican silver miners, and we do have some down in the Americas and South America as well. But with such a focus on Australia, do you find that maybe the royalties there are not as picked over as they are in North America? And with about three quarters of your focus being in Australia, does that give you guys an edge as a company to be able to find royalties on companies that maybe some of the bigger royalty companies here in the United States and Canada aren't as aware of or aren't following as closely?
I think that's absolutely right, Shad. We continue to find great value in Australia, acquiring royalties, particularly in West Australian gold royalties. So we'll continue to adding new royalties in Australia while that sort of valuation discount persists. You know, when we look at like-for-like gold royalties between parts of Nevada that are highly sought after and highly competed for versus, you know, very equivalent gold royalties in Western Australia, it just sort of blows our mind a little bit at the value we're able to unearth in Western Australia particularly. And look, that's not by luck or by chance. It's, you know, we've spent the better part of the last 10 years building the world's largest royalty database of over 8,000 royalties. And so a lot of that value that we find comes through our intellectual property that we've spent 10 years building. So, you know, I can assure you it wasn't easy getting to this point, but we're in a really fortunate position now where, you know, we can remain disciplined in acquiring really value accretive royalty opportunities that unlock immediate value for our shareholders, you know, over the coming months and quarters.
Yeah, Spencer, I appreciate you mentioning that proprietary database that your company and team has developed. I do think that gives you a big edge in the marketplace. And we've talked before in previous episodes, which I'd encourage people to go back and listen to, about that database and how you found them and communications companies and hearing aid companies and people that were ranchers that didn't even know they had a royalty. And just there's a lot of value out there that you've been able to uncover that's really not getting other eyeballs, and other companies aren't even seeing those deals at all. So hats off to you guys. But you brought up the acquisitions there. So just as we move forward looking to next year, there's different ways royalty companies can return value to shareholders. Some do it through dividends. Some do it through buying more projects that are accretive acquisitions. Some do it through share buybacks. What are the main strategies that Vox Royalty will be using as we move into 2022 to return some value to shareholders?
Absolutely, Shad. So we do have an active buyback program that is ongoing. So particularly when our stock was trading, you know, in the sort of 250 to 280 range, we were quite active buying back stock, you know, opportunistically. So we have returned capital through that normal course issuer bid or buyback program. We are continuing to look at options, at other ways to return capital to investors, you know, whether that's through a dividend or otherwise. With our expectations around growing revenues in coming quarters and years, you know, we will continue to revisit that sort of view on being a dividend payer. But speaking candidly, you know, while we can continue finding deeply discounted royalty opportunities, that's the best way for us to continue creating shareholder value. You know, rather than just paying a fractional dividend that like some of our peers have instituted, you know, while we can still find deeply discounted royalties, we think that's the most sensible way to add per share value. But we're constantly reassessing that to make sure that, you know, that is the best way to deploy capital. So yeah, we'll certainly keep the market updated as plans change regarding dividend policy and future acquisitions.
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, the share buybacks is another form of giving back to shareholders, but most people are in the royalty space because they want to see companies acquire really juicy royalty packages. So I think keeping the focus, keep the main thing, as they say, and keeping focused on quality acquisitions is probably the best way for growth and probably the thing that most investors are most interested in. Just as we turn the page on the year, though, final thing here, Spencer, is there any key news investors should be looking for, let's say in Q1 or Q2 of next year as we get into 2022?
Yeah, so Shed, I think investors can expect two things going into Q1 for Vox. The first is we're expecting to release some news on some future acquisitions. These are acquisitions we've been working on for some time that cover some really sort of, you know, incredible ore bodies that have generational mine life potential. So investors can look forward to learning more about those potential acquisitions. And then the second thing that investors can really get excited about is just all the organic or free growth that we're going to be announcing over the coming quarter as it relates to new royalties coming into production, new development stage royalties moving into construction phase, and then new resource updates that I guess, you know, underpin medium-term revenue potential. So all of that exciting news is just around the corner in Q1.
Well, it will be exciting to keep following along, Spencer, and we appreciate you coming on the show today to share with us some of the key takeaways from these latest news releases on exploration, the development stage of some of these projects, the growing production profile, and how things look and are growing moving into next year. Good luck on some of those acquisitions. And in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Vox Royalty, so consider me biased, but I think you guys are doing a great job, Spencer, and thanks for spending a few minutes with us here at the KE Report.
It's been a pleasure, Shep. Thanks for your time, and thanks for being a loyal shareholder. We as management obviously own 15% of the company, so we're also extremely biased, as our families are. But thanks for your time, and happy holidays to you and your entire family.